Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The time now is exactly 11 minutes past the hour of 9. Welcome to Radio Islam. My name is Muhammad Bam and I will be in your company this morning until 10 a.m. inshallah. Joining us online, we have is Manana Zahir Ahmad Raghi. Manana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And we take this opportunity of greeting our esteemed listeners on Radio Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And how do you do this morning, Maulana?
Alhamdulillah, very well, Maulana. And yourself?
Alhamdulillah. And we wish for the same with all our listeners. And we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He keep us all protected from all difficulties and harms.
Ameen. Maulana, in our last discussion, we are discussing living Islam, how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had interactions with other people, with his family members, with his wives. We were discussing last week about the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he would express his fondness by making diminutive forms for the name of his wives, that Aisha radiallahu anha used to call her Aish or Humaira. Then we also discussed about how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would accompany them to feasts out of kindness, and we gave the story about that person who invited Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he asked, is his wife Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha also invited? And at the first instance and the second instance he said no, so Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said he also could not attend, and on the third instance when he said that no, she is also invited, then he went. Then we also discussed about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam living a harmonious life with his wives, and we give the example of when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in i'tikaf. And the last thing that we discussed last week was that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never ever criticized his wives. That means he never ever lay a hand on his wives or criticized his wives. Well, I think we stopped there. We were going to discuss about how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was considerate to his wife's feelings, and how he would comfort the wives of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Yes, Maulana. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In this discussion of ours, of the interactions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with various people, and in our current discussion we're talking about the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam interacted with his wives. And one example, as you have just asked about, is his amazing and exemplifying care and consideration for his wife's feelings. And in that, the best way of understanding that is, again, instead of giving commentary, just look at the various incidents that took place during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his wife. There is this very beautiful story about a dispute between two of his wives. Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha says, and or rather she said something that hurt the feelings of Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha. These are two wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hafsa being the daughter of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anha, and Safiya coming from a Jewish background. So Hafsa said something that hurt the feelings of Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha. And this saddened her by calling her the daughter of a Jew. In other words, Hafsa said to Safiya, "Oh, daughter of a Jew," which she was. However, Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha cried and complained to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now this is the wisdom and the beauty and the consideration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam defended her. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comforted her heart. And he comforted her with words that calmed her down and made her happy. The story goes like this. After Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha said that statement about Safiya, and found out that this is what Hafsa said about me, she began crying. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered upon her, came to her, and found her in that state, in that depressed state, in that crying state. So he asked her, why are you crying? And Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha said, Hafsa called me the daughter of a Jew. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied so beautifully, and he said, you are the daughter of a prophet. Your paternal uncle is a prophet. and the wife of a prophet. So what makes her think that she is better than you? Rasulullah said to her, you are the daughter of a prophet. Your paternal uncle is a prophet, meaning you are a niece of a prophet. And you are also the wife of a prophet, meaning the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what makes her think that she is better than you? Subhanallah. Here, the term, you are the daughter of a prophet, refers to some say, to Harun alayhi salatu was salam, the son of Imran, may Allah be pleased with him and may Allah exalt his mention. The term, your paternal uncle is a prophet, refers to Musa alayhi salatu was salam, and who are both Harun and Musa alayhimus salatu was salam are children of Imran. They are from the Ali Imran, which we read about from the Surah Ali Imran. And you are the wife of a prophet, meaning you are my wife. Now in this way, in spite of being called daughter of a Jew, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you're a daughter of a prophet, you're a niece of a prophet. And these are prophets that were sent to the Bani Israel. And then you're a wife of a prophet. What makes her think that she's better than you? This is the beauty, the wisdom, and at the same time, the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam consoled Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha. Another example that embodied this great consideration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he had towards his wife is the story of Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha's camel. May Allah be pleased with her. Now, our listeners might think that, you know, these are two stories of Safiya. But we need to understand that Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha was someone that was very soft-natured. And she was also someone who was very sensitive. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took his wives along on a journey to perform Hajj. After traveling for some time, a man took hold of the camel and started spurring them to go fast. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the man, be careful with the fragile vessels. Be careful with the fragile vessels, meaning referring to the women that are on the camels. And whilst we were traveling, she says, my camel knelt down due to illness, and it was the best of all camels to ride. I started to cry because my camel kneeled, I remained back and I was not able to move forward with my camel. So I started to cry. And this news reached Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who came to me and started wiping my tears with his hands. Now imagine the scene. Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha traveling with the whole caravan. Someone is spurring the camels fast so that the camels may move a bit faster. Whilst that happens, Rasulullah says, be careful of the fragile vessels. And subsequent to that, the camel of Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha becomes weak, becomes ill, and it kneels down. And Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha is left behind from the rest of the caravan. When she realizes this, she begins crying. Now this is, you know, in the desert, and she's left a little bit back, and the news comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to her and wipes her tears with his own beloved hands. Now this is an amazing psychological, emotional way of taking care for women and taking care for your wife. Wiping the wife's tears with one's hands is a great way of comforting her and expressing one's emotions and feelings towards her. Though the reason for her crying was not something major, the kneeling of a sick camel, yet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not undermine this. Yet he comforted her and he showed her love and concern. Now, this is how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with his wife. It shows us the amazing, beautiful character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the way he used to deal with his wife. Yes, Marana.
Gee, Marana, we come that these were the different ways that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to deal with the wives. However, coming to the part where we mentioned that the camel got sick, and this was the way how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt in that manner. However, what was the condition when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to comfort his wives when they felt unwell?
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, obviously, when these few incidents that we just spoke of, or these two, were not incidents where the wives themselves were ill. It was just that their emotional feelings were a little bit down. And Rasulullah went out of his way to comfort them. One can imagine when the wife was actually ill, how he used to do. During the farewell Hajj, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha got her menses. And she also began to cry. Now remember, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was a young lady, and she got her menses. She was not married to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a long period, so she was still a very young girl. And when she got her menses, she began to cry because the rest of the ummah and the rest of the people were continuing with the various rituals of Hajj. And because of her menses, she was prevented from fulfilling some of the obligations of Hajj. And this made her feel depressed. And she began to cry. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when seeing her crying, asked, "Why are you crying? It seems you've got your menses." And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said, "Yes." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, "This is something which Allah has decreed upon women. Do what a pilgrim does, except for tawaf." Meaning, continue doing whatever you need to do, just refrain from performing the tawaf, because the performance of tawaf requires complete cleanliness, because you are in the haram. And after she finished her menses and completed the various rituals of Hajj, she wanted to make up for the Umrah that was interrupted as a result of her menses. So she came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she said to Rasulullah that everyone performed two acts of worship, an Umrah and an Hajj, and I was unable to complete my Umrah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded her brother Abdul Rahman, may Allah be pleased with him, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, to take her to the area of Tanim, to assume the ihram, and then take her to perform and make up for the umrah that she had not been able to fulfill. Now here again we find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the consideration, because of her not feeling well, because of the menses, and we know what women go through sometimes when they have the menses, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was considerate. Men should be mindful of the state of women and the changes that happen to them due to menses and post-birth bleeding. Women usually become extra tired. They undergo various aches and pains. They undergo mood swings. When the husband shows consideration during these times, in particular, the wife would consider it as a favor from him upon her and would appreciate it. And here we find how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, again when the wife was not well, one of the ways that he was considerate with regards to them.
See, Morana, then we come to the story where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed ruqya on them when they became ill also. How did Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam go about doing this?
Again, when they were not well, the one is to show consideration, to show such consideration that they are feeling comforted, But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beautiful example that he was for everyone, did not suffice only by saying, okay, don't worry, everything will be fine. He even went a step further to make means for their remedy. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed ruqya on them when they became ill. Ruqya here means that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite some ad'iyya, he used to recite some adhkar, and he used to blow on them so that they may be cured from the difficulty or the pain that they are experiencing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to visit his wives when they fell sick. And he used to place his right hand and perform ruqya for them. That is to recite certain supplications, to recite certain verses of the Quran as treatment. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, Allahumma rabban nas, izhab al-ba'as, anta shafi, la shifa'a illa shifa'uk, shifa'an la yughadiru saqama. These were some of the supplications that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite. And this recital of these supplications was an amazing way of comforting the wives. The meaning of this dua, Allahumma rabbin nas, idha bil ba'as, anta shafi la shifa'a illa shifa'uk, O Allah, Lord of mankind, remove this disease, remove this pain and cure her. You are the great curer. There is no cure but through you, which leaves behind no disease. The fact that the husband asks about the source of pain, the fact that the husband places his hand mercifully on it, and the fact that the husband performs some supplications, has a great impact of the wife, even if the pain remains, because she would feel that the husband cares for her, that the husband is considerate, and the husband feels her pain and empathizes with her sufferings. In the long narration of Umm Dhar, on the authority of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, this hadith is a hadith that I would advise most of our listeners or all of our listeners to read, because this is a hadith that talks about how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to speak, or rather how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to treat his wives. Now in this long narration, it is found in the books of a hadith, it is also found in the Shama'il, the narration of Umm Zar on the authority of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, in which 11 women gathered to reveal all their marital secrets to each other. Now this is at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahaba and the Sahabiyat, the wives, 11 of them, gathered together, and as general informal discussions went on, they decided to reveal some of their marital secrets to each other. One of them complained about her husband, saying, he never extended a hand to feel my pain. Ibn Hajar, rahimahumullah, says, she meant to complain about him being inconsiderate and wanted to describe him to be uncompassionate by saying that my husband never extended a hand to feel my pain. This was a way of explaining or rather presenting a complaint about the husband being inconsiderate, uncompassionate. Now there are husbands who truly have no consideration and want to see his wife up and about all the time, and whenever she falls sick, he takes her to her family's house so that they can care for her and returns to her after she has recovered, because he would not tolerate being around her if she becomes unwell. And the wife may go through sometimes hard times, problems, difficulties, and need someone to comfort her, to bring a smile to her face, to bring a smile to her lips by dealing with her in a manner, in a cheerful manner, speaking to her in a loving tone. She needs someone to take some of the burden off her shoulders and relieve some of the distress she suffers from, in order to make her feel that she is not facing this difficulty with all its hardships all alone. And women sometimes may lose a close relative, a father, mother, brother, and sometimes need someone to help her endure this calamity patiently. Remind her with the virtue of sabr, console her. However, we find that some men lack this quality, and you find many a man indifferent towards what his wife is suffering from and the hardships that she faces, the afflictions that befall her, and the problems that she goes through. Some may even go to the extent of belittling the grief and sorrow, sometimes even mocking her, making fun of what she is suffering from. Whilst I'm saying this, we must also keep in mind that there are also homes where, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, the husband may do a lot for the wife, may go out of his way to care for the wife. But sometimes, due to for whatever reason, he might have just been a little negligent about something and unintentionally. Then we'll find that many a wives use that and will always make him hear about that one occasion where he did not care. So we need to have a balance here. And the wife should not feel that we are, or the husband should not feel that we are only talking in favor of the women. But women too should be grateful. And they should always, when they find that occasion where they fell or where they feel that the husband has been inconsiderate, just activate the pause button. Just look back in your life and try to recall all the good times and all the good things that the husband has done. And instead of complaining of that one time, express gratitude to Allah for giving you such a husband. Express gratitude to your husband for caring for you, and then remind him in a nice way, if you would have just did this also for me, it would have been so better. However, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam coming back was amazing. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "O Allah, I make you witness that I conveyed the rights and rulings pertaining to them of two types of people, orphans and women." Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "O Allah, I make you witness that I conveyed to my people the rights and the rulings and the obligations pertaining to two types of people, orphans and women." So this was the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with his wife. In other words, when they were ill, he comforted them, made them feel comfortable. And he also used to place his hand on the area where they were feeling pain. He used to supplicate for them. And by doing that, this resulted in a great way of comforting the soft nature and the sensitive nature of women in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created them. But women must also remember that don't only complain about sometimes when the husband shows some negligence. As I've said, activate that pause button before making a statement of ingratitude. Look back, think of all the good things that the husband has done for you, and then remind him of that one time where you require his assistance. In this way, inshallah, by practicing on this beautiful way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's beautiful example, inshallah, we'll find that our homes will become better homes. And the purpose for us discussing these is to put into practice. It's no sense just having the information, but more important is to be putting into practice.
Ji, Marna, coming to another topic that we mentioned, that Nabi Karim Salasram, he was very tolerant. We discussed the tolerance of Nabi Karim Salasram before. However, Nabi Salasram even tolerated improper behavior towards him by his spouse.
Yes. Marana, this is also another topic. You know, there is someone that I was just speaking to yesterday, and it so happens coincidentally, the discussion that we are having is so apt and appropriate to the discussions I had with this friend of mine. Whatever we're discussing is something that he had experienced, and it's just coincidental that we are going through the same aspects. We find that whilst Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was extremely careful, extremely considerate, extremely compassionate to his wife, he went out of his way to comfort them. But as the human weakness, we will always complain about everyone and we will forget always the good things. We find that sometimes, and their homes were normal homes, and sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His infinite wisdom brought about such situations even in the homes of Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam, so that we, you and I, could learn lessons from them. That how did Rasulullah manage his home? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tolerated even improper behavior towards him by his wife. Nu'man al-Bashir radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrated that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu came and sought permission to enter the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when he was at the door, he overheard his daughter Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha raising her voice over the voice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In other words, there was a discussion and he overheard the father of Aisha overhears that his daughter, the wife of Rasulullah, our beloved mother, is raising her voice above the tone of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyhow, he was granted permission to enter. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was granted permission to enter. And when he entered, he said to his daughter Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, while pulling her, in other words, he pulled her a little harsh, a little aggressively. He said to her while pulling her, O daughter of Umm Rumman. Rumman was the mother of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. O daughter of Umm Rumman, how dare you raise your voice over the voice of Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In other words, he could not tolerate that his daughter is raising her voice, above the voice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Nabi of Allah, the greatest man on earth, and his best friend. So, subhanallah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up, and he stood between Aisha and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhum. He stood between them, and he did that to protect Aisha from her father. What beautiful example. After Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu left, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu realized that I'm not going to succeed here. So he left. And after he left, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turns to Aisha and he says to her, to comfort her, to make her happy after what her father did, he says to her, did you not see how I protected you and stood between you and him? Subhanallah. Later, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu comes back. Abu Bakr was uncomfortable. He was uneasy. He realizes he left, but he left without this problem being solved. And he was concerned, what must be happening in the home of my daughter? He comes back. And subhanallah, when he comes back, he finds Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam laughing with Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And again, Abu Bakr seeks permission and he was granted permission to enter. And he addressed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, O Messenger of Allah, include me in your peace, include me in your laughter, as I was part of your war. Subhanallah, what beautiful examples. Imagine here now that Abu Bakr comes in and he experiences a total opposite environment in the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Abu Bakr says to Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, include me in your peace as I was part of your war. Meaning, let me be part of your joyful times as I was part of the time you had a problem. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would tolerate it if his wives separated themselves from him the entire day. Now, look at this example that we are just going to be talking about. These occasions, these incidents took place in the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, we the people of Quraysh used to be dominant over our wives. But when we came to Medina, we found that the Ansar, the residents of Medina, had their wives dominating them. The people of Makkah were dominant over their wives. But when we came to Medina Munawwara, we found that the residents of Medina had their wives dominating over them. And our wives began to learn from their wives. Our wives started learning from the people of Medina, and they became strong-hearted. And they began having the culture of even dominating us. So our wives began to learn from their wives, says Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he goes on to say, one day, I became angry with my wife. And she began to back chat at me. And she began to answer me back, argue back. And she began to refuse to take my instructions without an argument. Every time I said something, she back chatted. She did not want to listen to me. And every time we spoke, it just became an argument. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, I became angry with her. And I did not approve that she should answer me back in the way that she was. She said to me, you don't like that I should retort upon you? You don't like that I should back check to you? But by Allah, the wives of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam retort upon him, and any one of them separates herself from him for a day until night. When he was not happy with what he experienced with his wife, and the wife says that to him, she says to him, but you're not happy with my relationship with you, but the wives of the Prophet had the same relationship. And she was indicating that, go and see the incident of your own daughter, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hafsa. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu continued, and he says, I rushed and I entered upon my daughter Hafsa and I said, does one of you retort upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And she said, yes. Then I said to her, do you separate yourself from him for a day until night? And Hafsa said, yes. Ibn Hajar, rahimahumullah, says that this narration proves that being tough with women is a despised characteristic. Ibn Hajar, a great scholar on the commentary of Ahadith, says that this narration proves that being tough with women is a despised characteristic. Because the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam adopted the style of the Ansar in dealing with women and gave up the way of his own people, the Quraysh, in the way that they dealt with them. Subhanallah. It also proves that one should be patient with his wife. One should overlook her mistakes and forgive their minor mistakes, unless it was a right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this incident that we've just given, it's a very lengthy discussion, and inshallah we will discuss this lengthy incident. I know many of our listeners might be anxious about what had happened. How did that incident then eventually play out, the incident when Umar went to Hafsa, and what actually happened? But inshallah, as we go along, I will make mention of that incident. Here, the only idea here was to point out as reference the way Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tolerated improper behavior even from his wives.
See, definitely, Mauna. Well, then we come to the last part, that Nabi Karim used to help his wives in their housework also.
Yes, yes. This is a very... it's a section that we've heard many times. Mm. Al-Aswad ibn Yazid radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrated that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, or rather he says that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was asked, what did the Messenger of Allah do when he was at home? She answered, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept himself busy helping his wife in her housework, and when it was time for the prayer, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would get up for prayer. In another narration it is mentioned that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was but a human being. He would mend his garment, he would milk the sheep, he would serve himself. In another narration it is mentioned that he would clean his own clothes, he would repair his shoes, and he would do what men regularly do at home. Now in our times, some men, Marana, I'm actually getting concerned, maybe I'm speaking too much on the side of the women today.
See, Marana, we'll get the calls later.
Inshallah. In our times, some men overburden their wives with housework that they cannot bear. He would see that she is exhausted, sick, and would react indifferently towards her and would not extend a helping hand to her. Indeed, this is not the kind treatment with which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to deal with our wives, nor is it following in the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt with his wives, in the few examples that we have mentioned here, tells us that he was indeed the best in his way that he dealt with his family members. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a perfect example of the most beautiful example for us to follow, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also said that the best among you are those who are best with their wives, and I am the best with my wife. We learn from here that this was the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was considerate, he was caring, he used to tolerate improper behavior, he never criticized, he never lifted his hand, and he used to help them even in the housework. If only we can learn from these, inshallah, our homes will also become beautiful homes like the homes of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam. Marana, if you allow me, maybe we could conclude here, and we will continue next week, inshallah.
Inshallah, Jimana.
Any comments from our listeners? Any of our men want to complain, they may be free to complain.
Jimana, we do mention, normally I see, but the past few weeks we didn't mention that this is a call-in line, call-in program, that if you have any input, you can always give us also some input, and the number to dial is 011-854-1548. It's 011-854-1548. And you can even WhatsApp us. That's on 072-786-1548. That's 072-786-1548. Wow, we do have a caller just by announcing.
As long as it's not my wife that's complaining that I'm a practice what I preach, man.
Let's hope. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam
wa rahmatullah. Manana, I'm speaking to you from the East Rand. We make a lot of shukr that I got my brothers and my nephews and my husband. They help us out to do housework. Not housework, actually, wash dishes for us on a Sunday morning. The whole week you'll work. Come, we help you to make breakfast. Come, we help you to hang clothes.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. And doesn't that
bring
about lots
of love in
the home?
My dad tells the boys, mommy is tired, come, let's go take over the kitchen.
Alhamdulillah. Doesn't that bring a lot of love in the home?
Make dua, Mulana.
Inshallah.
That it stays like that.
Inshallah.
Very understanding if I'm not well. And you say, oh, you only made one thing today. I don't know, I was tired today. You know, sugar, alhamdulillah, I might not eat it.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, it is a way of understanding also, and it does make the burden of the housework much easier also, Manana.
Yes, definitely, definitely.
Okay. Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikum salam wa
rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh.
Amen.
Gee, Manana, I've just seen there's no more callers anything.
Yes, it's better, Manana.
Ma, jazakallah for your program, for your time. Much appreciated. Inshallah, we'll speak to Mawlana again next week.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It brings to the end of today's episode. Until we meet again, for myself, Muhammad Baum, and my engineer, brother Mikael Khan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.